got a touch of, well, a little taste of the life of the metropolitan elite this morning in my neck of the woods.
How do you mean?
Well, I just popped out early this morning to walk Pam.
Pam, Pam, Pam.
And we've got a squashed rat on our road.
Oh, congratulations.
Lovely. Thank you.
And that does confer city status on Exeter, doesn't it? I know you've had a cathedral for over 1,000 years.
But... I think so, finally, yes. Yeah. We applied, we had a cathedral, we had a university. We keep applying, we keep getting knocked back.
It's the squash rat is the final of the three
exactly,
point.
Exactly, yeah, finally.
And people, they can tell if it's just a small beaver, they can tell. It's not, that doesn't
There's
count.
An unterbishop who's been dispatched to check exactly that.
Yeah, if that squashed small beaver reverses you back to village, doesn't it? It goes in the opposite direction.
So she's there now doing an assessment. They've put a sort of gazebo over the top and blocked the roads. And people are queuing up to see it.
What, to get selfies and to...
Not the usual. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And to start welcoming in the international businesses that will start HQing themselves in Exeter.
Yes, that's right.
HSBC.
Yes. Santander. Omnibank, of course.
They've all been alerted.
United Biscuits.
British American Tobacco.
Mega Cream.
American Cheese.
Yeah. American Cheese.
So it's very exciting.
Mm. Oh, congrats.
Well, we've hoped for it for a long time because we're in the spring, of course, and we get a spring sort of rat tsunami sometimes when it's very, very wet.
Oh.
They flee the river. So you'll see them skittering and scampering, but we've never managed to squash one. I don't know who, no one's claiming the squashing yet. That'll be interesting.
From the kind of tyre marks, can you tell what kind of, I'm assuming it's a vehicle rather than someone with a mallet.
It looks, from the heavy pressing, I'd say a vehicle. I'd be very impressed if someone's managed that with a bicycle.
Okay.
It's also, it's on the side. It suggests, pavement side wheel.
And obviously, so someone will just have to do the checks that it is a rat, won't they? So they'll have to do that. So that's, they've got four-fingered claws at the front, stubbly, sort of unshaven look, isn't it, that they...
It's unkempt, isn't it?
It's an unkempt look that they go for.
It's kind of day after the Christmas party kind of look, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, they're not wearing a tie. Yeah.
And it's very much, oh God, did I photocopy my cloaca and send it to the Taiwan branch? Isn't it? That sort of vibe. That's what they go for. Whereas mice are more like sort of combed, aren't they? Mice are much more...
I like a mouse, to be honest.
I do like a mouse.
No, it would be sad if it was a mouse, yeah.
So the reason I bring this up is because, as I quite often do, I bring the illustrator's view on a topic.
Okay.
And the difference between a rat and a mouse, from an illustrator's point of view, is it's all about snout length and snout unkemptness.
Okay.
So a long, long, messy snout. So basically, if I draw something, I'm trying to draw a rat, but it looks like a mouse. I extend the snout a bit and just add loads of random bits of hair coming and just make it look a bit unshaven, a bit day after the office party.
I was told secondhand, you know the old rat going up a pen thing? I was told that...
It's a mouse, not a rat. A rat can't get up a bloody pen, man.
I might get one of those novelty ones.
A London rat, what, a sort of display pen outside the Ryman's HQ?
Yeah, exactly. It's probably a rat in there.
Not an operational pen, though. I mean, I've seen rats the size of boys in this town. Yeah? You see a boy getting up a pen?
Soho. Battersea. Old Southwark. Streatham. Vauxhall. Tufnell Park.
Barnet, technically.
Madame Two Swords.
The Cenotaph.
Halfords. Zone 5.
Mind the gap between your provincial existence and this metropolitan utopia. Next stop, urban enlightenment.
The glamorous London life of Henry Packer.
Hang on a second. Is that Sir Andrew Lloyd Webber? No, it can't be. Because you're Sir Andrew Lloyd Webber.
I know! So, Mike, what were you saying?
There's a secondhand that apparently it's the nose girth is... That is key. They can use the end of their nose. If they can get the end of their nose in it, they can get the whole of them in it.
Oh, wow.
That's the measure. Mouse have a pen.
Yeah, yeah, of course, because they've got a collapsible skeleton. Isn't it? The whole thing. It's the same logic as...
Trestle tables.
It's the same logic as trestle tables. which is if you've ever seen a small group of grannies trying to set up a fete, where they're separated from the fete main room by a wall.
With a tiny little chink in it.
So there's a tiny chink or even a drain aperture. It's incredible what they do because they fold
up. Those grannies can get in, can they? It's just not an issue.
They'll fold up the trestle table. And because if the trestle table can get in, then they can get in as well.
Too. Yeah, because they can fold up their legs and arms in the same way. Yeah.
That's right. And in an emergency, where's Granny? All she's left is her thermos. Look inside the thermos. Open it up and you'll see one of her eyeballs sticking out the top. And she can tell you through winking whether or not she wants you to...
to shake her out.
Yeah. And that's why you see so many grannies with burned eyes, isn't it? Which is when people have poured hot tea into a flask without checking if there's a granny
without
inside.
Checking if there's a granny.
Always check that thermos.
Always check your bonfire to see if there's a hedgehog in it.
Yeah, or a granny. Check under your toilet seats.
Well, you know, rats come up through toilets. Mm-hmm. That's one of the most heinous things I've ever seen on the internet. Someone opening up the top of their toilet bowl and the rat just bursts out of it like a horrific anti-celebratory firework. It like shoots out into the room. And, like, it's unbelievable.
Satan's party popper.
Satan's party popper.
Beelzebub's jack in a box.
Yeah, good stuff. A good thing that person was, for some reason, video diarising their toilet opening every day of their lives.
Well, that's it. That's why we should all be video diarising at all times, just on the off chance.
Video diarise as much as you possibly can.
That some sort of end of the world omen should occur during your life.
I think there's so much because I end up watching a lot of videos online of like. Recently, I watched a long compilation of near misses of people almost getting hit by trucks.
Mm. Yeah, I've watched some of those.
And I was like, why is this being filmed? Like, yeah. And the fact that the things that are being filmed, like that must be a small percentage of the actual mad stuff that's happening. Mm. If you extrapolate out, it should that we must almost be being hit by trucks all the time. Do you know what I mean? If this number are being filmed...
Mm.
I mean, I know there's a dash cam element. I know there's a dash cam element. Don't look at me like that.
Ben, and the elephant in the the elephant in the room was just the dash cam elephant. I mean, the dash cam element. That's why they call it the dash cam elephant, don't they? It's always in the corner of the room for these kinds of chats.
I haven't dash cammed. Have you dash cammed?
No, I've not got. That's the thing.
No, but there is.
Not many people have.
But there is a dash cam element, Mike. That's what we're saying.
I know.
And we're not saying everyone dash cams.
No, I know, but I don't think I ever will because I think if anything really goes wrong, what if I'm responsible? Do you know what I mean? Do I want to document that?
That's the way I don't have one. It feels like an incrimination machine, doesn't it?
Yeah. Because what happened to the good old thing of sidling away?
Exactly.
From something?
Exactly.
Because if you sidle away on dash cam, I tell you what, it looks even worse. Like you cannot sidle gracefully out of a dash cam. So out of dash cam footage. People talk about the ethics of CCTV, don't they?
That was a big 90s talking point.
Huge 90s talking point.
It's kind of gone away now. People don't seem to mind.
It's gone away for some reason.
Well, we were notorious back then, weren't we, as a nation?
But I think there is still... Well, no, there's CCTV everywhere.
I know, but back then we were like famously like we were top of the pops.
Yeah, yeah.
We had more CCTV cameras than we had rats, basically.
I think wasn't there a stat that like Britain had more CCTV cameras than like the Stasi ever had?
Right.
Like, we were just really into it. Like, and no other country on earth was really on board with it. And we were just like, get those cameras up.
Yeah.
Why is that? Yeah, why was that?
I don't know why that is.
Was it around about the same time as ID cards were being...
Well, that's the thing. We were so anti-ID cards, which is literally just a piece of card with your name on it. But we were like, film me at all times, but you will not know my name.
Yeah.
You will be able to follow me back to my house using a series of cameras.
Because I've met my French exchange and he is constantly ashen-faced all the time. That ID card is clearly ruining his life. The haunted look on Jean-Michel's face.
Yes, I am carrying my driver's license in my pocket at all times, but that's different. And my library card and my credit card, yes.
But, you know, I don't want to be the person to stoke a sleeping bull.
Okay.
Great mixed metaphor.
I don't want to be the guy to tweak the nipples.
Of a sedated snake.
Of a sedated snake.
To fan the stew.
But I think it's time to reopen the debate on 90s CCTV.
Okay. I'm with you, Henry.
So here's an ethical question for you. Because I have wondered this sometimes. Actually, would it be better for society, for all of us as individuals, if we just went, you know what, sod it, let's press the button, universal CCTV. all the time.
Doorbell
every
cams,
time.
Dash cams, body cams.
Dash cams, body cams, dog rat cams, cam, egg cam, bonjo cam, pam cam. Everyone's got a cam. And everyone's got multi cams.
Yeah. Thanks for including me in the list of pets, Henry.
Wouldn't that just be better? Because then we'd solve all crimes instantly. They wouldn't even happen. I've got nothing to hide except Thursdays 3 to 7.30. That's all I'm asking for. I get a dash cam amnesty Thursdays 3 to 7.30.
Okay.
No, but do you know what I mean? Like,
So if you're trying to garrot a supergrass, then how do you navigate your way around that? Is it that if you turn off your body cam, there's a
member of supergrass?
I'd be going for Bascom McGinty. What's he called again?
Bascom McGinty? Bascom McGinty.
Bascom McGinty. Was he called again? The guy in.
What is he called?
He's called Harry Bascom, is he?
Gaz Coombs.
Gaz Coombs. Gaz Coombs. Yes. Exactly the same energy as Harry Bascom as a name. I'm very good at remembering the energy of people's names.
But this is why, I mean, yeah, so we've mentioned this before. People were critical of Bono and the Edge and all that kind of vibe, but it is clear. It is some clear marketing, labeling.
That's true. I think what's difficult if you're in a band is getting name recognition if you're not the lead singer, basically. I mean, I don't know. Do I know the bassist or drummer from any band?
Bassist in particular. I mean,
well, Flea managed it by being called Flea.
Again, that's the thing. That's he's got
who's
the
Flea?
Edge style, hasn't he?
Who's Flea?
Who's Flea? Are you being serious?
Good times with my friends. I'm having good times with my friends. I'm scared. Sorry, that was my safe place song.
Chili Peppers.
Pace Setters.
Chili Peppers, Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Chili Peppers, they're not a proper band, sorry.
What?
Uh-oh. There's certainly no Steve Forbird. And can I tell you, I've been getting so much love for Steve Forbird.
Have you?
Have I had one message? Have I had two messages? I've had two messages.
From Steve Forbird?
From Steve Forbird. The first one asking me to marry him, and the second one apologising, but then doubling down on it and asking me again if I would marry him.
Just so if you weren't listening last week, Henry played us a song by Steve Forbird that he likes, and me and Mike gave him short
a lot
shrift.
Of people do.
He panned it. But I've never had two people say, yeah, reach out to me in a positive way.
Okay.
What did they say? Just it's a good song? Or
yeah. Just say they agreed with me. They listened to it first time and loved it.
Okay.
I don't know if that means it's a good song, though. I was saying it's the first time liker. But let's not get into that.
Okay.
We could do.
Yep.
No.
Bassists and drummers who... It must be quite annoying, that, do you think? You could be any old... You could just wheel out.
I don't know that it is, because I think if that's your jam, then maybe you quite like it.
Maybe it's quite like
a bit
it.
Of anonymity. Maybe it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the cheat code, isn't it? Like, being the drummer in U2 is brilliant. You're as rich as Croesus, but no one knows who you are.
Yeah.
But you could literally be Jeremy Hunt.
It might be.
It could be Jeremy Hunt. You could have a completely separate life. And you could be one of those people who excels in their separate life as well as their main life, like Jeremy Hunt.
You know... Yeah. That's the second time in 2 weeks we've talked about Jeremy Hunt.
Is it?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Has he got your spare room at the moment or something?
I just feel for Jeremy Hunt. You know, he was all right, wasn't he, Jeremy Hunt?
No.
No one's got a bad thing to say about Jeremy Hunt.
Loads of people had bad things to say about Jeremy Hunt.
Oh, did
he?
Was
an appalling health secretary.
Oh, yeah. Was he? Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I want to tell the listeners about something where... So if you came to our recent live shows in Bath, you may have noticed that on the stage, we had a couple of things on the stage. We always have a few things. We've got like a crab bell
little seagull.
Yeah, Mike bought a seagull for some reason.
That's Chekhov's seagull.
Yeah.
They're all little references to things that...
Yeah, but I don't even remember what that reference is. And I'm in it.
That's because it went over your head, Ben.
Anyway, one of the things we had on stage, we had a Nigel Haver's autobiography. Now, the reason is because we did some Patreon-only... We did a Patreon-only episode involving Nigel Haver's autobiography. Now, we also did a Patreon episode about John Major's autobiography...
But not about, because again,
we're not endorsing John Major, but
using it as a jumping off point for little comedic skits and little joie de mots, What is it that we do?
What little joie de mot mean?
Little joie de mot, little Viennese fancies of the mind.
It was agony aunt action, basically.
We were randomly picking bits out of it to answer people's agony aunt questions.
Yeah, anyway, so we thought, oh, it's fun. We'll take the Hayward's autobiography and the John Major autobiography.
Yeah. So we put them on the stage. So as people were coming in and sat down, that was part of what they saw was the Nigel Hayward's autobiography and the John Major autobiography.
That's part of the incredible set.
But the John Major one was quite big as well. Big old, dirty, great big hardback.
Huge big hardback of the John Major autobiography.
Shining on the stage under the lights.
On the table.
And then I realised that we haven't yet released the John Major episode on Patreon.
No.
So it just looked like we decided to...
troubling you ever since.
But also, it looked like, for some reason, this show was brought to you by the John Major autobiography, which is weird. Or brought to you by John Major in some way. The other thing that's weird is... We then didn't reference, we forgot to, we didn't, did we do anything with it?
We made no reference to it.
We made no reference to it. So then it was more like, oh, we're trying to subliminally influence people to be keen on John Major retrospectively.
That's been troubling you ever since. It's quite a big pompadour. I didn't realise this was playing on your mind, Ben.
It has played on my mind.
Well, the thing that troubles me about it, though, is also that no one mentioned it or thought it was weird enough to mention. And it, was, it sort of felt right for us as a podcast.
Yes, exactly.
That we would be alongside John Major somehow, and that he would be our spiritual companion.
That's the thing that bothers me. Now, Mike, you mentioned that us talking about this is a pompadour.
Yes.
Play the jingle. It's been a while.
Well, people have sent in versions of the Pompidou jingle, but I haven't been able to use them because we don't really do Pompidous anymore.
I don't know if we don't or if we do and we don't even realise we're doing it. But that was a very clear Pompidou.
Basically, imagine if you were locked in the Pompidou Centre for 7 years, right? By the end of it, would you still think you were in the Pompidou Centre? I think you wouldn't. I think you would think that was your new world. You know what I mean? So you wouldn't notice. If you're close enough to the Pompidou Centre, you don't see the Pompidou Centre.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
Anyway, just so if you don't know, a pompadour is when we talk about the kind of internal mechanics or kind of behind-the-scenes look, decisions made about the podcast, for example. But we don't really do that anymore because, you know...
It's so smooth.
Absolutely fascinating.
Fascinating. It's a fascinating... It's a bit like looking behind the curtains in a curtain shop. All you see is more curtains. Curtains within curtains.
There is a jingle for it. I'm quite fond of the original pompadour jingle, but...
Yes, it's a good one.
But I'm going to play one sent in by somebody. They sent it in 6 months ago. This is Andrew from Devon.
Thank you, Andrew from Devon.
He says, I worked very hard to produce this entirely original jingle composition as an alternative pompadour jingle. I hope that this is a credit to the authors of the original work it is tastefully inspired by.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see what he's done here.
Very faithful so far.
To the Patreon jingle.
It's the Patreon jingle.
It's time
for Pompadour section.
Oh no. Oh no. Oh god. Pompadour. Oh god. He says Pompadour in a weird way. Ah. Do you know what that was like? That was like a very loved person in your family, maybe a mother or an aunt, you tap them on the shoulder, they turn around, they've got the face of a horse.
Yes, it was.
Wasn't
like
it?
That.
It was uncanny and weird and just creepy. Yeah. And something about saying Pompadour rather than Pompidou.
It was
really
creepy,
gets under my skin and
it
really creeped me out.
Because we don't get much of a chance to get through Pompadour jingles, I've got a few. Should we play some more?
Yes, please.
Yeah, go on.
James has sent a technical death metal version of the Pompadour jingle.
Okay.
And now it's time for Pompadour section. Pompadour.
Pompadour. I think that works a treat.
Quite good.
It's great stuff.
Yeah.
We also had this from Micah.
Thank you, Micah.
Why is it called Pompadour?
Because at the Pompadour Centre, you can see the tubes,
you can see the escalators
from underneath.
Wow. I think Mike has managed to Pompadour the Pompadour jingle.
He's Pompadoured Pompadour.
Yeah, I think that's a great feat.
You know what that was like? That was like tapping your mum on the shoulder. She turns around and she's got my face. And then you just start dancing and you don't know why. And you don't know if you're enjoying it or not, but you're still doing it. You think you feel safe, maybe.
But then you start kissing.
Then you start kissing. Oh, God.
This is from Joe from Marple.
Thank you, Joe.
Antiques World. The first fully global antiques TV programme.
That was great, Joe from Marple.
That's quite good.
Yeah.
Get Fiona Bruce involved.
Yes, or Oscar ceremony style. I
think. Yeah. Yes, it was Oscar ceremony style, yes.
Yeah. The Oscar for Best Three Bean Salad Podcast goes again to Shagged Married Annoyed. Oh, yeah. So quickly, so my thing was Universal CCTV. Would that be better? Because, you know, I'm not doing anything criminal, so
let's
fine.
Give it a go.
Keep watching.
It's a great if you haven't done anything wrong, you've nothing to fear.
No, but
authoritarian slogan.
No. But Mike, what I'll add to that is, but genuinely though.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Just, honestly. They'd have heard that from despots.
What
in the past,
am I
right?
going to do that anyone gives a shit about? You watch me going around my business. Oh, Henry's had three dumps today. I don't care if you know that. Yeah. Oh, I might not have done, by the way. Oh, yeah. And the other quick one was just in terms of distinguishing between a mouse and a rat, which is where we started. It's about a long, unkempt snout. But also, weirdly, that's also the same thing that's different between a dog and a wolf from an illustrated point of view. You just make the snout longer and unkempt.
Mm.
And I'm not sure, but I think it might be the same with horse v. donkey. Because every animal has its dark shadow, doesn't it?
Frog and toad?
Exactly, frog and toad. Every animal has its dark shadow. Frog has toad. Horse has donkey. Mouse has rat.
Yeah, like a sort of Wario version of every animal.
Dog has wolf. Wolf has werewolf. Werewolf has Tory MP, thank you.
I'll have to edit that out because John Major, our paymaster, won't be happy with that.
Just snip that out. Yeah, so bee has wasp?
Yes.
Yes, that's a good one. Butterfly has moth.
Butterfly has
moth. Oh, my God. Snake has eel?
Oh, yes.
Well,
when I'd say eel has snake.
Depends on your point of view, doesn't it?
Rabbit has scorpion.
Not hare.
No, yeah, rabbit has hare.
Yeah, but they're both quite neutral, aren't they?
But rabbit? No, but hare is a bit more wild, a bit more folk horror.
And into boxing, they're like a punch-up a hare, don't they? You know, they're violent.
Yeah, you could be beaten up by a hare.
What about crab?
Sparrow has crow.
Is crab on its own?
I'd say hand has crab.
Hand has crab, of course.
Yeah.
Okay, so this week's topic, as sent in by George.
Thanks, George.
Thank you, George.
Or perhaps George. I say that because he's from Stockport.
Ah, the Cherbourg of the North.
The Renaissance.
Great.
Where do we begin? Literally where? When did it bloody happen, mate?
I mean, what a great choice. Oh, I mean, what a great choice of podcast to ask to do this.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's such a dearth of high quality historical podcasts at the moment.
You know what? This has actually fallen quite well for me.
How so?
Because I know shitloads about the Renaissance.
Yeah. Do you?
No.
No.
I was going to bluff it. I thought bluff it hard, lean hard into the anti-truth. That's what I was doing. No, false reason you are, because last night, this is becoming, you're going to think that that I'm going this way in life. But last night I did watch an antiques-based TV show.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. I'm becoming an antiques guy, not in a cool, sexy, Lovejoy way. I did last night. So, okay. Can we talk about the death of linear television?
Yeah. That's part of the Renaissance. The TV Renaissance.
The new Renaissance. The digital Renaissance.
The digital Renaissance.
Okay.
Is absolutely taking... I mean, have you ever just gone on to see what's on linear TV lately?
Recently, my broadband contract came to an end.
Yeah.
And through my broadband contract, we've got a TV box thing that's part of it.
Yeah.
And we never, ever use it. And so you have to ring up and renegotiate because they do that thing where it's like, now it's going to be £90. And then you ring them up and say, that's silly. And then you do the merry dance.
You do the merry dance. But you have to do the merry dance because if you don't do the merry dance, they will keep...
They will pull your trousers down, yeah.
They will effectively pull your trousers down.
Yeah. And I hate the dance because you have to pretend to be like a bit of an arsehole basically and be like, well, I don't think that's acceptable actually. And I could go elsewhere and I will take my custom elsewhere unless you buck up your ideas, sir.
Yeah.
You have to be like that.
And if I sound like I'm Professor David Starkey, that's because I am Professor David Starkey. This is a false name I use. That's the way to do it. As soon as you hit Starkey, you get put through to special person.
Anyway, I had to make a decision because they said, I said, look, we don't use the TV thing. Nobody watches TV anymore. So you could take that off and it could be cheaper, right? And they said, no, if we take it off, it's more expensive. You know, is that a thing?
So TV has become something that they pay you for, basically.
Well, basically, it turned out that I've got myself a new deal that I'm happy with. And in order to have that deal, I wanted to have slightly faster internet to make sure that 3B and SATA could go ahead in the seamless way it's happening right now. Nice. I had to have TV and their mega 250 channels package.
Good God.
Oh, for God's sake.
And it was like cheaper if I did that, so I had to have it.
That's the sort of thing. As a child, I would have been so excited by that.
Yeah.
I know, God. But not anymore.
I just think, wow.
But that's because we're now in a vertical data landscape and not a horizontal data landscape. Hi, I'm Henry Packenheimer. Welcome to my podcast. I have 7 billion listeners.
I was looking through the 250 channels to be like, what have I got here? Is there anything good about this? And the answer is no. And some of those channels, like there's a channel that only plays episodes of Come Dine With Me. And the channel's called Come Dine With Me.
You see, that's vertical. That's not horizontal.
That's essentially streaming for like people who can't work out streaming.
That's a YouTube channel, isn't it, basically?
Yeah.
That's strange. Because it used to be, what I think of, is like when you go in a hotel room and there's... You flick through the channels and there's movies for men, documentaries for men, Bravo X, Bravo Monkey, Bravo Big Boys.
Do you stay in Novo Phallus hotels?
I have done, yes.
I've never had a male-themed TV thing.
There's a whole thing, such for men.
I think they know that I'm urban, I'm not really, I don't really believe in it. No, actually, it's just not like that. I, for example, think it's okay to be sensitive and hug, for example, which neither of you are into. That 250 channel thing, that is such a desperate death throw of the analog world, isn't it? Mm. To be offering 250 channels. That is the equivalent of when cars are coming in, going to a shop and going, can I buy a car? And them going, no, but I'm prepared to offer you 250 horses. Isn't it? That's basically what's happened.
Which was happening about 100 years ago. That's exactly how it went.
Exactly. Yeah.
And
exactly
this horse is just for men.
And this is our come dine with me horse. It makes a terrible, terrible paella.
I could read you the list of the channels that I have.
Okay.
To see if there's anything exciting in there.
And we're talking about, by the way, just to people know, this is the Digi Renaissance, isn't it? Yeah.
So 250 channels.
Yeah.
Bearing in mind, if you watch a different channel a day, you wouldn't be able to watch all of them before you die. And that, yes, Ben, that is my way of announcing that I've ordered an autumn hit on you.
Oh, it's nice that it's autumn, though, isn't it?
I thought it would be nicer for it to be autumn.
I can just imagine my lifeless body sitting amongst those golden leaves.
The golden leaves crackling on you.
Yeah.
Little boys and girls kicking their way through your corpse.
Yeah, stumbling on it.
Yeah,
mummy, we found a corpse. It's an autumn corpse.
Oh,
we don't need to make a guy this year. We can just burn the corpse on the fire. I'm going to keep my conkers in his asshole.
And then, quietly, almost imperceptible, a fully park camouflaged Walls sausage van. Bulldog. 3 men in dark suits come out and they haul Ben off.
Yeah. Bye, everyone.
For the Chipolata range.
The offal goes into the sausages, the skin into the ice cream. That's how Walls works. And that's how Walls keep their prices down. So actually, are we all complicit in it? In a way, yes. Anyway.
Okay. The channels. I've got the normal channels, but I've also got CNN International, Create and Craft, Drama, Drama Plus One, E4, E4 Plus One, yeah. E4 Extra, yeah. Euronews, Film 4, Film 4 Plus One, Food Network, France 24 English HD.
Can I just pause you, Ben? So plus one means an hour later.
Yeah.
I mean, how completely irrelevant is that concept now in the horror, in the vertical data landscape that we live in?
True.
An hour later. What is an hour? And hours don't exist anymore.
There's just now.
That's all there is. Yeah.
Now.
France 24 English HD. Mm-hmm. Gems TV.
Gems.
Get Moving pop up.
What is gems? Is gems like cultural gems or literal selling you actual gems?
That'll be selling rings and stuff, won't it?
Yeah, semi.
They'll be made of things like zirconium.
Yeah.
Or like semi non precious.
So it's not like it's the David Jason back catalogue or something like that.
If only.
Now on Gems TV, a series of David Jason inspired jewellery pieces.
This fascinator is only £75.99.
Rendered in Australian opal, the words, "You plonker, Rodney."
The perfect way to propose to a loved one.
The God Channel.
Of course, yeah.
HGTV.
HG, what's HG? Heavy goods.
But looking it up, HGTV is an American cable channel. That primarily broadcasts reality programming related to home improvements.
So, as you say, the linear has become non-linear, hasn't it? It's become effectively YouTube channels.
Everything's in a genre, basically, and you just watch.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Legend Extra.
Essentially, we are being culturally fed our own sick.
Welcome to Three Bean Salad. Bollocks for simpletons. Plus one.
But if you are going to eat your own sick, you might as well do it with a bib. And that's where we come in. Aren't we? We are a sort of cultural bib.
Cultural bib. Islam Channel. Islam Channel Urdu.
Yeah.
ITVB. Jewelry Maker. Legend. Local TV. NHK World Japan. Now 70s. Now 80s. Now 90s. Yeah. Paramount.
I'd be up for those ones. Is that just Top of the Pops type stuff?
I assume that's just music, yeah. PBS America, Sky Mix, Pop, Quest Plus One, Quest Red, QVC, QVC Style, QVC Beauty, Really, True Crime Extra, S4C, Sky Arts, Sky News, Sky Sports, The Smithsonian Channel, The Sony Channel,
yeah.
Sony Movies, Sony Movies Action, Sony Movies Classic, Talking Pictures, Talk TV, Tiny Pop, TJ CHD together, yesterday plus one, and then there's more. But
you know what? This is making me want to do. This is making me want to go out into the wilderness, out into the mountains, into a little cabin that's got Wi-Fi and watch that now 90s channel. I think I'd love to do that.
Completely undisturbed
for once.
Yeah,
I've got one for you, Mike.
Yeah, okay,
it's called Discovery Shed.
Brilliant.
This channel features programming covering fishing, DIY, construction, cars, bikes, and outdoor extreme adventure.
It's completely targeted at provincial middle-aged men.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it's borderline far-right preppers. It's not far off. Build your own corrugated iron safety zone.
No emotions can penetrate.
Bring it back from the digital renaissance to the Italian renaissance.
Oh, yeah.
So last night, I was going through the channels again. It was Bloody Apprentice, blah, 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 usual stuff. And I was, like, bemoaning the state of linear television. And then there was, like, another antiques thing. It was, I can't remember what it was, what even the concept was.
Oh, was it the one where you each get a horse and you have to put as many, you have to buy as many antiques as the horse can take before it buckles?
That's right.
So it's kind of like Buckaroo.
It's high-stakes Buckaroo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so this one, they tried to get 7 grandfather clocks on a Shetland. But the one last night was, it was something like Country Homes or something, I don't know. But there was like a guy, there was like a posh guy and a lady, and they were going around an old stately home. And you know, as I watched it, I thought, I do quite want to find out what's in that stately home, to be honest.
That's how they get you.
That's how they get you. Because at the moment, I thought, I don't know what's in that stately home. And later I could know.
Yeah.
If I stop watching now, I'll never know. So they went into the stately home. It was a lovely stately home. It was a really gorgeous stately home, Ben. It was.
Why do you say Ben?
I don't know. Just sometimes I like to focus in on one of you. Just see what you see how you'd react.
It's divide and conquer.
It's divide and conquer. But it also had some really well-designed gardens, Mike. Yes. Take out Mike with the gardens, take out Ben with the interiors.
He's split us up and he's making little judgments about what we would be into.
Yes. Exactly.
Particularly because he knows how hard you've been working on your tulips in your gaff.
Exactly.
And that's so that to suggest you wouldn't be interested in the gardens.
Ben, you'd have loved the paintings on the staircase. Mike probably wouldn't have been so interested in those. But Mike would have done some lovely stuff with the back garden, Ben, wouldn't he?
He's doing it again.
Probably wouldn't have been able to.
Oh, if he gets to kitchen garden, then we're in real trouble.
Oh yeah.
Chives!
My emotional chives. It was nice to him. And they found a painting in there.
Mm.
And this is the other classic thing.
Was it quite good?
It was quite good.
Yeah.
The tall posh bloke was like, I think this might be an Edvardo Bandandi.
Yeah.
He thinks it's a Bandandi. Some people aren't sure. They take it to London, and sure enough, 50 minutes ago, I was a cool London guy with my own coffee grinder.
But now the cool guy's in the basement of a major auction house, and he's just someone they found who's wearing enough corduroy and or tweeds to make an assessment of the Bandandi.
Exactly. And then suddenly I'm a guy watching a man with layers of corduroy upon corduroy. Yeah. He's got corduroy where they've put corduroy in the gaps between the corduroy. So he's gone full Roy. It's not even corded. It's just full Roy on his trousers.
Could I have been that guy had my life gone on a different path? You know, could I handle that degree of Roy?
But I'm watching him, and this is the moment when you know you've lost it. I'm watching him dipping a little sort of earbud thing into a special pot of liquid and cleansing the surface varnish off the surface of the painting. And bringing out the lustrous colours underneath.
And it was really hitting for you, wasn't it, I imagine?
It was really, really great. I absolutely loved it.
It was just an Athena poster of John McEnroe shouting at an umpire.
But it was a rare one of John McEnroe wearing that little skirt and scratching his bottom. Which is a very rare one. He didn't want it to get out.
That's why Bandini was painting over them.
That's why Bandini wasn't allowed to photograph it. He had to paint it incredibly fast.
So did it turn out to be the priceless painting?
Spoiler alert, they then brought in an expert. It was quite weird this in a way, because the expert just went, you know what? I really think this is a Bandini. It gives me the Bandini feeling. That's what the expert said. And in the final scene, he takes the painting back to the people in this house and announces to them, well, guys, it's a big moment. I can confirm this is a Bandini. But it's like, hang on.
In the opinion of one bloke, probably.
Yeah, probably. It was a woman, and the woman had said, I think this is a Bandini. And if you think something's a Bandini, it is a Bandini, apparently.
Okay.
He went, right. It's a Bandini.
He was called Bandande earlier.
Well, that's the twist, Ben. There is no Bandini. There is only Bandandi. And I am Bandandi. And then he machine gunned them all. I wasn't expecting it to go that way.
But that's Gems TV.
That's Gems TV for you. But this painter was a Renaissance painter.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So this was a Renaissance master. He wasn't called Bandando or Bandini. He was Dutch, so he can't be called. I can't remember what he was called.
Okay.
But he'd been the head painter to the King of Spain.
Oh, cool.
He'd gone over to Spain, done some very famous paintings of the King of Spain. And he had this thing where his heads in the portrait are always higher up than you'd expect.
long-necked people.
But the genius of Bandando is you don't notice the long neck.
Or the low shoulders.
Because it's so bejeweled.
Because it'd be like a sort of spaniel curled up on it or something.
Yeah, I'll have a spaniel curled up on it, or maybe a dead trout to represent death. Wrap around it.
You know when they do that thing when they say, oh, it's so full of symbolism, these paintings? For example, you know, look at this. This skull represents death. And you're like, no shit.
This clock represents time. This fruit represents fruit.
Exactly. You know what? That is such bad symbolism. If that happened in an episode of EastEnders, you'd be like, this is one of the worst episodes of EastEnders I've ever seen.
What, if Grant Mitchell was holding a skull?
Yeah, if Grant Mitchell was holding a skull, going, oh, God. I suppose it comes for all of us in the end, doesn't it? Hold up a skull. You'd be like, that's the worst.
I've got a bad feeling about today.
That's the worst episode of EastEnders I've ever seen. You'd be saying. The other thing this guy did right in his paintings was everyone would always be, they wouldn't be head on.
They'd be head off.
They'd be head off. So it was very much your final portrait. You always knew it was your final one. But it's very hard to project power when you don't have a body attached to your head, which is why I had to put the head so high up. Why I was able to put it so high up.
So is it looking to one side, you mean?
Yeah, the stance he went for was, I can reenact it in my frame here, which is, but basically, if you imagine me with my face head on, so it's a perfectly round, sort of peach-coloured orb.
Yeah, Henry's head.
Specs.
Which the Dutch masters would have used for their apprentices to learn about the dancing of the light.
Before you do hair, you sew something. Eyes of a dead horse.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then just lumpy. A body which looks like... It looks like three children have put on a T-shirt to try and disguise themselves as an older person to get into an 18 film in the 90s. And it's just got out of hand.
They've disguised themselves as an older person's torso.
All they need to do is to persuade some old drunk outside to do the legs and head and arms.
And then the story was, sorry, can we come in and see Total Recall, please? Sorry, the reason we haven't got a head is we've just had a portrait done of us done by Antonio Bandando. Yeah, all ties together. He put the head up towards the top of the frame, and then his paintings were always in three quarters angle, which apparently is more powerful. I don't know if you agree.
Isn't that supposed to be generally more flattering? Isn't that people do that with selfies, don't they? Although they would do the downward angle as well. Is that right? It's downward.
Well, in a way,
here we go.
In a way, what we're looking at is a kind of Renaissance version of a selfie.
Welcome to BBC One.
Hello, dear listeners. Little fact: so we've just had a little strangely quiet spell here because the way you make Henry Packer become lost for words is to encourage him to promote one of his own ventures. It's absolutely stymied. It's extraordinary.
That is true. I just don't think people want to keep hearing me tooting on about my work in prog shows.
They do want to, and they want to see them. We're all going to Mac, as
That's
you
true.
May know, MacCuntleth Festival, May 2025. Henry's got a work in progress. Now there's a bonus work in progress.
There's a bonus one. A new date has been added.
Indeed.
It's on Friday night, so that's Friday the 2nd of May, 2025. Next Friday, you could almost say, depending on when you're listening to this. But it's a minimum of next Friday.
What do you think next Friday is? But let's not get into that now.
it's Friday the 2nd of May. It's at 7 p.m. It's in, the venue is the gym.
The gym.
Or Ben, how is it also known in Wales?
So I think... Okay, you've not understood this. It says Ysgol Brohyddgen Gym. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So that is, Ysgol Brohyddgen is the name of the school. So you're in the gym of the school. So
I thought that was quite a long word for gym.
Yeah, gym in Welsh isn't Ysgol Brohyddgen. Ysgol means school or ladder.
Does it? I like that.
That's quite a good double meaning.
And then Brohyddgen will mean something, but it's the name of the school. I don't know.
Henry will know that by the time he gets there.
Oh, yeah. Certainly. And the show is called Illustratinator, but it's a work in progress. People are really struggling with the name. People don't like saying it. People don't like writing it down. People don't like remembering it.
You need to do none of those things. You just need to turn up.
You just need to turn up.
See what's happening. It's an experiment, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's a lot of fun. It involves me talking and drawing live on stage using a screen and a special piece of technology.
The hand.
The human hand. So come along, get your tickets.
There'll be a link to tickets for that in the show notes for this show. Also, remember, you can still get tickets for our tour, which is upcoming in the autumn. There are tickets left for Bristol, Brighton, Newcastle, and Birmingham. And also, we can exclusively reveal that we're doing an extra Leeds date.
Oh, nice.
We're doing another London date.
Oh,
and a Glasgow date. But they're not yet quite ready to go on sale, but they're booked in.
Yeah, but yeah, looking forward to it. I mean, that's not the issue, is it?
I don't think there is an issue. I think we're just conveying some information.
I don't know why did I say I was looking forward to it?
But an issue or issues may arise.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they'll arise.
Any of these events, we don't know.
But you want to be the one, because it's going to be talk about theatre, isn't it? You want to be the one that was there when the issues do arise, if they do, which it probably will, so you then tell your friends about it.
Yeah.
The next day.
You want to be the person that the press is asking for a photograph of, so that they can put on the front page.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who did it happen to? Who's under that chandelier? That's what they want to know.
And did you have bird of prey insurance? Because that raven was absolutely out of control.
The Three Beans Heard live show raven. Who's that? What's that audience? Who can I hear? It's the Three Beans Salad Raven.
It's Kevin the Raven.
Oh, he's hungry.
Don't scream. It makes him more angry. Everyone stop screaming.
Why have you brought strips of beef with you? No, someone's brought strips of beef.
We told you it's a no biltong night. What does it take to get the people of Leeds to stop eating biltong for one evening?
Cream puffs and nachos, that's it. That's all we're supposed to be bringing with you.
So yes, I'll put a ticket link for the shows that are already on sale in the show notes, and then at some point soon we will announce when those new Leeds, London and Glasgow dates will go up. Also, there are a very small number of tickets left for my short film screening in Manchester on Sunday, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes too. Right, now let's read some emails.
When you send an email, you must give thanks to the postmasters that came before.
Good morning, postmaster. Anything for me?
Just some old shit.
When you send an email, this represents progress. Like a robot shoeing a horse.
My beautiful horse.
Okay, let's start off with the bollocking.
Okay.
Accessing listener bollocking. Bollocking loading. Bollocking loaded.
This is from Johnny in Nice.
Hello, Johnny.
Ben says that Britain wasn't eating salad 50 years ago, and they were fine. They won the war.
It's absolutely straight out of the...
Wow.
Of the reform propaganda leaflet, isn't it?
Yeah, the Falklands War.
So, yeah, I think you might have preempted the shape of this bollock. He says, this is a terrible argument against salad because the only war that Britain was in 50 years ago, in 1975, was the Cod War.
Oh, the Cod Iceland, War. Iceland.
Which they lost.
What was the Cod War?
There are a few of them, I think.
Yeah, apparently it was the third Cod War.
It was fishermen having fights with Icelandic fishermen about fishing rights, basically, for cod.
But did the actual Navy get involved?
I think they did get involved just to, like, tell everyone to just, like...
Calm it.
Cool it.
Right.
Simmer down.
It all got a bit leery.
So I'm accepting that bollock, fair enough.
Bollocking accepted.
I think, it was one of those things, as I said, that I realised that World War II wasn't 50 years ago, but in my head, it's still 1995, basically.
Yeah, yeah. fair enough.
If you boil it down, for me, it's basically 1995.
That's when your development arrested, basically.
I think it is, exactly, yeah.
You're safely held in the warm clench of a John Major administration.
I've got a very vivid memory of being in school on the 50th anniversary, the VE Day, on the 50th anniversary of the end of the Second World War in Europe, yeah, in May 1995. Strong memory. The reason I've got the strong memory is we all got given a mug. The government paid for every child in Britain to have a VE Day mug.
We didn't get a mug.
Oh, well, you should have done, Mike.
I was in school then.
Maybe it wasn't the government. Maybe it was just Cardiff Council.
Well, I mean, my school would have absolutely leapt all over that. And
you were in a kind of military garrison, basically.
Pretty much.
You probably just got a sort of one of those strings of bullets that you can put around you. Or something. You would have got something more overtly militaristic, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Just a pith helmet and put on sentry duty for 48 hours.
Also, because you got a different component of a Gatling gun, didn't you, every year? And then on your final day of school, you can actually operate the gun fully.
That's right. I got the special bayonet that you can attach to a Gatling gun.
That's
incredibly cumbersome, but quite frightening to the opposition.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think, Mike, the reason you don't have one is that you weren't in primary school.
Oh, right, I see. Yes, I was in secondary school.
I think all primary school children were given a mug.
They wouldn't have appreciated it. It's ridiculous. Whereas we would have absolutely loved it. We'd have cherished that mug. Where's that mug now?
I don't know. I don't know where that mug is now.
You used to store paintbrushes for 3 months and then smashed on the floor, no doubt.
I've got a rare RIP Princess Diana tea towel from 1996, signed by Prince Philip, the year before she died. Coincidence?
Staying on the topic of history, we've had an email from Byron. Now, this has potentially wide-ranging effects, what's contained in this email.
Okay.
Especially for Henry Packer and his nascent religion, Packerdonia. Which, although it's a religion, is also a kind of political movement based on Beacon nationalism, right?
That's right, yes. Okay. Yes.
Dear Beans, just wondering whether anyone has pointed out to you yet that the Beaker people were not the original inhabitants of Britain, but came over from the continent.
Nice. That is a vile conspiracy and a vile lie. Burn the heathen, or at least give them a dead arm.
They replaced the cultures that built Stonehenge and other Neolithic monuments.
So Stonehenge is pre-Beaker people.
Can I say, that is a widely spread untruth. There is a schism within the Pacadonia community about this. it is my belief that Beaker is, and I think the clue is in the word Beaker, it's a British word.
Beaker. It's in English.
It's in English. Well, it's an English word, isn't it? Beaker. So.
Okay.
Think about it. Where's it probably from?
So, yeah, there's a whole lot of Neolithic dudes who were replaced by the Beakers.
Now, where did they come from?
Where are the Beakers from, then? Did he say?
The continent.
The continent. So the Beakers would be pro-ID card, presumably.
Probably, but very anti-CCTV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas Pacadonia is very much a pro-CCTV religion.
It's universal CCTV.
Which is what Stonehenge was originally designed for.
Well, that's why it's all facing outwards, isn't it? It's a circle. It's an eye from above. It's the exact same shape as an eye if an eye is perfectly round. So they'd have one druid sitting on each rock looking out.
Yeah.
And that was their CCTV. So it only spread as far as the M2?
A303.
A303.
Beth emails, Dear Beans, I would like to sincerely thank Henry for sharing his love of Romeo's Tune by Steve Forbert.
Yes, I'm so glad. I was hoping there'd be some Forbert love coming in.
I listened along to it and it was so absolutely fundamentally dog shit that it completely killed my nascent crush on Henry, leaving me a much happier and less mentally conflicted person. Here's Beth.
God.
Oh, Henry. Well, I've been on a real emotional journey over the last 10 seconds.
Absolutely pounding.
I don't really know what to say.
Have you been gamed? Was that a neg or was that a next level? What's beyond a neg? Is that... What is that?
I've been mentally pancaked. I don't know left and right. I don't know what's going on.
Self-esteem shredding.
I think the best thing is cover me in Nutella and roll me up and give me to French schoolboy right now. I don't know whether I'm coming or going.
Oh, blimey.
I mean, I've been listening back to that Stephen Forbert song a few times since last week.
Yeah.
And actually, I have become less convinced that it's a good song, but more convinced that I like it.
That's good. That's good.
So I don't know where that leaves us.
Final one from Mark. Dear Beans... Returning from a recent trip to Paris.
Nice.
I spotted your very own resident Francophile, Henry Packer, in front of me in the luggage queue at Gare du Nord.
Yes, or it was one of the 2.5 billion other bald men on Earth at the moment.
Of course, I thought, here he is in his natural habitat, the birthplace of Pret-a-Manger. Thinking fast, I shouted Pompidou to get his attention, at which point Henry turned around and two things happened. One, it became very clear that Henry was in fact an elderly and very confused Frenchman.
Okay. I'm already a pancake, so I don't know what I am now. Can you get what's fatter than a pancake?
And two, I looked like a giddy tourist loudly listing highlights from his little trip to the City of Light. Can you please confirm if Henry's in fact an old French man? Thanks kindly, Mark.
No, I'm not that. But I do have a fleet of body doubles.
Ah, yes.
Who I deploy around the world to stem off assassination attempts.
Yeah.
So it's probably one of them.
Oh, Henry, you're going to need a big old lie down after this.
I'm going to need a real lie down after this. I'm so flattened that I feel like I need to be sort of mashed back into shape and reformed, but will I reform myself in exactly the right shape?
Ooh, it's unlikely. It feels like a start again job to me.
It's probably a start again job, isn't it? Yeah, I'm going to need a new soul.
I'm trying to find an email, Henry, that will G you up.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, I'll try this one. This is from Gleb.
Ben, can it not be so obviously from someone you've just made up? I mean, make an effort, mate. Oh, yeah, that's why I found a really positive one from you, Henry. It's from Dr. Randapoon.
Who says, Henry's quite good in some ways.
Henry's quite good in some ways.
Speaking.
This is from Gleb.
Okay, thanks, Gleb.
Dear Beans, owing to your politically neutral stance, I doubt this will get read out on air, but I just want to say that while I'm a huge fan of the podcast in general, I was disappointed you chose to spend so much time talking about Henry's Keir Starmer pub anecdote.
Okay.
He's completely underqualified for the job. All he does is waffle on without actually doing anything, and I'm sure there are a fair few people who would agree with me that he's running this country into the ground. Maybe if you spent a bit less time watching Arsenal and mixing with liberal elites in the pub and a bit more time getting this shit show back on track, we wouldn't be in this mess. I guess it's kind of cool that Keir Starmer was in there too, though.
Oh, lovely. Really lovely.
Really good.
Really good.
Gleb, you've done a beautiful switcheroo and you've made it satirical. I mean, that's the...
Oh, it's the satire-a-roo!
It's the satire-a-roo!
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage the old
satire-a-roo!
Okay, yes, I see what you're saying. Yeah, you're saying that. What? Hang on, I thought you're trying to say.
Oh, he's gone the other. What? Oh, he's gone the other way around. He means that. Oh, that's what he meant. What? So, what he said before wasn't actually. I thought it. Now he's gone the other way around with it. Oh God.
It's the old
satire-a-roo.
But I also arrued you, Henry, because far from being able to build you up, that was another pack of slam.
Oh, slam-a-roo. Yeah. Well done, Gleb. I mean, Gleb, your badge is in the post, of course.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Although, right back in your face, Gleb, at least my name isn't, if you spell it the other way around, the first four letters of Belgium.
That was a... What a wonderfully specific burn.
The worm has turned, hasn't it, Gleb?
What's Henry backwards? Thanks to everyone who signed up at our Patreon.
Thank you.
You can get bonus episodes, you can get ad-free episodes. This is the end of the series for us, but the fun continues over on Patreon through our month off.
Yes, there'll still be weekly content, won't there?
I will, throughout May, over on Patreon. If you sign up at the Sean Bean tier, you get a shout-out from Mike.
Indeed you do.
From the Sean Bean Lounge. And you were there last night, weren't you, Mike?
I was, yeah, of course, yeah, absolutely.
Well, it was a big night last night, wasn't it? Because it was the amnesty on Toffee Hammers.
It was. Thank you, Henry. And here's my report.
It was the amnesty on Toffee Hammers last night at the Shombe Lounge. This always has the potential to erupt, and so Neil Marshall declared Neil Law, which, in the event of acts of civil disobedience, grants non-Neils the powers of a Neil and immunity from prosecution for vigilante acts. To attract those shy of handing in their Toffee Hammers, a thick sheet of toffee was spread across the entire lounge by Steve, Rachel K, Emma B, Electron Gap, Jenny Bradley, and Dan Tarantino, and hardened by Becky Thomas, SM, Jacob Little, Ruby Thompson, Simon Benger, Christopher Torres, and Lena Sheffer, using hairdryers, blowtorches, and the surprisingly warm breath of Stuart Pickering. Toffee wafting was performed by Sam Watkins, Zanna, Lloyd Farrell, Abby Hiskey, Peter Jensen, Gumberduck, Hannah Moffat, Emlyn the Gremlin, and Ollie Risvey, and soon the valleys and glens surrounding the lounge were awash with toffee scent. The mayor of Beansville, Verity Budd, instructed her citizenry to gather their toffee hammers and set them at a quick march towards the lounge. Meanwhile, at the lounge, in case of trouble, Jimmy Greenwood, Joe Watton, Bettina Saunders, John McLeod, and Zion Sapassen were melting the toffee again in case it needed to be used as a trap. Fluffy Mitts, Justin Malone, Joe, Iggy Gray, David Mayan, and Anthony Halsley varnished the mahogany shackles. Adam Foy, Mary Joy, Denise Anderson, Harvard Anthonson, Nick Kittle, Libby Smith, and Dale gave the bean dungeon a much-needed lick of paint. And Aidan McClure, Gordon Cook, Tar Marie, Matthew Cross, Selwyn Froggatt, and Webb Webster prepared nibbles. Nick Martin, Mrs. Macker, and Ali Millar pointed out that for those unwilling to hand in their toffee hammers, it would be all too easy to exit the lounge straight after entering. To prevent this, they devised a series of one-way turnstiles using sections of Theo Tucker, Donald Keel, Alex O'Neill, Chris McParland, Christopher Hanscom, and Matt that tend not to get used much. Vicky Allen, first of her name, conducted a survey to see who among those involved in holding the amnesty knew the difference between a toffee hammer, a claw hammer, a sledgehammer, and a yellow hammer. The results were dismal. And Toulouse Boo, Paul Abthorpe, Lauren Wilson-Davis, Judith Boylan, James Ayres, Tom Kettlety, Matthew Wollstonecroft, Fur Loose, Imogen Campbell, Dave Massey, Andy the Quill Dickinson, Brennan Reeves, Chase Gilbert, Daniel Hunter, and Yara Sabine all had to be stripped of their Neil powers and were told to wait things out in the Sean Bean ensuite and play human or frozen sausage Jenga until we were done. Joe Cousin Joe Nowitzki was the first to spot the throng entering the Bean Lounge Avenue driveway, began to let out a warning cry, and was silenced by pummeling at the hands of Rob Sage, Amelie Ashley Cooper, and Ben Cooper in order not to spook the new arrivals. The sight of a man being pummeled by what could only be hardback Grishams in knee-length woolen socks had the reverse effect, and panic ensued. This panic manifested in different ways. Hannah Tolley, Denise McCorkle, Pants Before Socks, Stuart Bottomley, Hayes, Olivia Heston, Joe Blamey, Hugh Jass, and Joanne Smith all reflexly wrote a letter to their local Member of Parliament. Lou, Luke Davis, Neil McGuinness, David Bryden, Thomas Lynn, Jay Bompf, Jim, Tim Butters, Justin Tilley, Andrew Eustace, and Tom Burton retreated into the childhood memories of retired F1 racing driver Nigel Mansell, Paul Freeman, Dan Meek, Ben Parkinson, Lucy Williams, Jimmy Greenwood, the Cardiff Bean Mafia, Jim Bob Stewpot, Tom Pearson, Kim Britton, Kate Haynes, and Andrew Dodd claimed asylum in The Cloud. John Paul Andrews, Hannah Toms, Ross McDiarmid, Barney Goodland, Tim B, Pete Bright, Sam's pal, Uncle Bongo, Susie Byrne, Kath the Badger Adams, Bonnie C, Louisa, and all of her cats all experienced the rare fight and flight response, but made the most of it by holding an impromptu airborne judo competition. Kenzie and Cal, the Evil K Twins, Phil Lowe, Richard, and Sam Bridgewater, Soggy T, Lisa McLeod Whiting, Harry Powney, Dan, Tim, Ben, the Bandit Men, and Kate Byron Dixon completed their bucket lists and handed over all their passwords to their next of kin. Robin Davies, Shaunicus, Dr. Tiddlybits, Livy, Ali P, Rachel K, John College, Karina Methy, Rob Wanacott, Betty Grove, and Sam Nutting set fire to a 5G mast, ate their phones, and went to live off the land as reintroduced beavers. Danny, Mike Rev, Debbie Vanny, Ginger Nedblake, Rory Underhill, Joanna Pooley, Leslie Alakow, and Vic all went completely translucent. Helen Banks, Chope, Joden, Alex King, Ethan Anderson, Georgie, Michaela Evans, Eric Salmon, Mason Pratt, Jess, Bianca Gagella, and Tasmania Beanbags panicked by forming a brass band and marching through Cheshire, which only caused the panic to spread further. Meanwhile, the only person to drop a toffee hammer off in the amnesty bin was Alison Stenton, although rumour has it she has a second one stuffed in her left boot, which is for personal use and which she refuses to surrender. Thanks all.
All right, let's finish off with the version of our theme tune sent in by one of you lot.
Yes, please.
James from Manchester says, "Hello, Beans."
Hello, James.
Hello.
While going through presets on my guitar effects unit, I found a classic country sound. So please find attached a country slide guitar version of the main theme. To annoy Henry, the guitar used was a Fender Made in Mexico Telecaster in three-color sunburst and a Fender Jazz Bass in piano
All
black.
Anyone cares about is, does it belong to Steve Forbird?
And the effects unit is a Neural DSP Quad Cortex.
Oh, my God.
Kind regards, James from Manchester. Yeah, so we'll play that. That's the end of the series. We'll see you over on Patreon for May, or back on the main feed in June.
In the summer, no less. See you then.
See you. Bye.
Cheerio.
Goodbye.